get started. Gutavach, everybody. Thank you for joining together to learn this evening. Today's daf is Megillah, daf Yud Gimel. We left off on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are at Kari LeYehudi, Alma Miyehudu Kase. I think that's what we're up to. Yeah, Kari LeYehudi, about five lines from the bottom of the page on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. The topics we're going to discuss today are, first, we're going to talk about what the Yichus of Mordechai was and why it is that he's described as both being a Yehudi and also from Shevet Binyamin. And then we're going to have a gigantic daf Yomi coincidence where we're going to talk a lot about Basya or Bisya Bas Paro. And because, of course, that relates very much to today's parsha, and we're going to talk about how she raised Moshe Rabbeinu, and that makes it Ki'ilu Yelado, and how she's also a Yehudiya in a certain sense. And then the Gemara is going to discuss what Esther's real name was. Was her name Esther, or was her name Hadassah? And if her name was one, why is she also called the other? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what it was that Esther ate when she was in the palace of Ahasuerus. After all, it must have been hard to keep kosher over there, so we're going to have three different possibilities of what she ate. And then the Gemara is going to talk about how Ahasuerus was careful not to do Tashmish Hamitah during the day, and a few other details about the Tashmish Hamitah experience of Ahasuerus. And on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the Tznius of Rachel, of Shaul, and of Esther, and how they all relate to each other. The Gemara is going to tell us how Esther used to show Damnida to the Chachamim because she was still married to Mordechai, and she would go back to Mordechai. And then toward the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about how Haman did the Goral, and he was initially so excited because it came out on the date of Moshe Rabbeinu's death, but what he didn't realize was that it was also the date of Moshe Rabbeinu's birth, and that is also a daf Yomi coincidence, of course, because today we read about Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. So let's begin five lines from the bottom of the page on daf Yud Beis and Beis. So says the Gemara, Karli Yud, the Amam Yud Kasi, he's called Mordechai is called a Yehudi, which makes it sound like he comes from Yehuda. V'kari le'yemini, al-mami binyamin kasi, and he's also called Yemini, which sounds like he comes from Binyamin. So how do we reconcile that contradiction? Amar of Nachman, Mordechai muchter binimuso haya. He was crowned with different positive attributes and different positive praises. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Aviv mi Binyamin v'imo mi Yehuda. His father was from Shevet Binyamin. His mother was from Shevet Yehuda. V'rabbanan amri mishpachos miskaruzu bezu. That the families would fight with each other over this, about saying who's privileged to count Mordechai among their descendants. Mishpachos Yehuda Omeris, or among who takes credit for Mordechai, rather. That mishpachos Yehuda Omeris and mishpachos Yehuda would say, anogarim de misyal in Mordechai. We're the reason Mordechai exists. The katle David l'shimi ben Gera, because David didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. Had David killed Shimi ben Gera, even though Mordechai descends from Binyamin, but he never would have been born if his great-grandfather would have been killed. U'mishpachas Binyamin amra minai kasi. And the family of Binyamin says, well, yeah, but he actually descends from us, so he's ours. Rava says something absolutely shocking, that Knesset Yisrael amra li'idach gisa, that Knesset Yisrael at the time did not like Mordechai. He was now we look back and we think of him as a hero, but at that time in his life, he was not a hero at all. People did not look at him as a hero. I'm reminded of what Rav Aaron Lapiansky once said when he was talking about Rav Aaron Cutler, and he said, we all look back and we say Rav Aaron Cutler was a guy nadir, and he was a gadol b'Torah, and he built Torah in America, and he did so much, and he did all of those things. But at the time, based on where the people were in America, he said he was the most despised man in America. He was the most hated man in America at the time, because so many people said, we don't need this. This is from the old country. We don't need Kol. We don't need people learning full time. This is outdated. This is not something. But so Mordechai at the time, Mordechai was not someone who was respected. Says Rava. What they would say is so the opposite. Ru'u ma'as liYehudi u'mashilin leYemini. People would say, who should we blame for the existence of Mordechai? Ma'as liYehudi delkat liDavid leShimi deSelim le Mordechai deMikri beHaman. That why did David have to not kill Shimi? And because David didn't do his job and killing Shimi, Shimi. That's why we have to deal with the Mordechai who pokes the bear and gets Haman all upset at us. We wouldn't have to deal with the problems of Haman if we didn't have a Mordechai. Just bow like everybody else does. Umash Shilim liYamini, and they would also blame Yamini. Delakatli Shaul Agag. They blamed someone from Shevet Binyamin that Shaul didn't kill Agag. Disel Minei Haman the Mitzar liYisrael, and that's why Haman was born, who causes all sorts of problems for the Jewish people. But it's remarkable that equation, that the Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, were as upset about the existence of Mordechai as they were about the existence of Haman. And they were placing blame on those who were responsible for the birth of Mordechai as much as they placed blame on those who were responsible for the birth of Haman. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Liolami Binyamin Kasi, that really Mordechai descends from Binyamin. V'amai kari leYehudi, why is he called a Yehudi? Al shum shekofar ba'avodah zarah, because he was kofar ba'avodah zarah, he denied avodah zarah, he rejected avodah zarah. Shekala kofar ba'avodah zarah nikri Yehudi. Anyone who rejects avodah zarah is called a Yehudi. D'chsev iti guvrin Yehudain. And the end of the pasuk is, it says on the side of the Gemara, I have the fancy Gemara, it tells you the whole pasuk, and it says le'lohach lopolchin ulitzelim dahava diakimeta lo soktin. That who is the Yehudain? Those who don't bow to the avodah zarahs. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ki have a pasuk with divrei yamim. When Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi would begin to darshan divrei yamim amar hachi, he would say the following: Kol dvarecha echad heim, all of these words are one and the same. Vanu yodun ledarshan, and we know how to darshan these words. Meaning the pasuk is going to identify a particular woman who it seems like had three children, and yet we're going to say that they're all really the same person. In fact, all the names of the three children and the three fathers are all the names of the same person. And the pasuk says, "V'ishto hayuhudiya yolda es yered avi gedor ve'es chever avi socho ve'es yukutiel avi zanuach ve'ele b'nei bisya baspara shalokach mered." So my kari lo yuhudiya, why is she called yuhudiya? We're assuming yuhudiya is reference to basya basparo. Why is she called yuhudiya? Al shem shekofra ba'avodah zarah, because anyone who's kofra ba'avodah zarah is called a yuhudiya. T'chsiv v'tered basparo lirchotz al yor, that the basparo went to bathe by the river. Va'am Rabbi Yochanan shiyor de lirchutz migilulei beisavia, that she went to bathe from the avodah zarah of her father's house. Yoldav harabuya rabise, but how could we say that she gave birth to Moshe? She didn't give birth to Moshe, she raised Moshe. Lomer lechutz, to tell you shekal magadol yasum yisom b'sof beiso malalav akasuv kilu yolado, that anyone who raises a yasum or a yisoma in their house, it's as if they've given birth to them. That's what one of the nosei kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Evan Ezer in Hilchus Peruvu says that if a person is unable to have children naturally, that there's a partial kiyum mitzvah of Peruvu to adopt children, to raise children, because kol magadol yasum yisom b'soch beso is kiyilu yelado, that maybe that even means to the extent that it's a partial kiyum of Peruvu. But how are all these names a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu? Yered, said Moshe v'lo menikra shmo Yered. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu called Yered? I have a Talmud whose name Yered. I always wonder where the name comes from. So it comes from Divrei Yam. It's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheyared lahem liYisrael man biyamav, that he brought down the man for the Jewish people. Gedur shegad the pirtzosay in shal Yisrael. Why is he called Gedur? Because he was goder the pirtzos, the breaches of Klal Yisrael. Chever shechiber Yisrael aviyam shebashmayim, he connected Klal Yisrael to aviyam shebashmayim. Socho shenasam liYisrael kisuka, that he protected us like a sukkah that protects us from the elements. Yukutiel shekivu Yisrael lekel biyamav. Yukutiel, because we yearned for and hoped for HaKadosh Baruch Hu during his days. Zanuach shizniach avanosei in shal Yisrael, that he managed to get us mechila for our averos. And why is it say three times in the pasuk Avi, 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 right? The pasuk says that Yered Avi Gedar, Chever Avi Socho, Yukutiel Avi Zanuach. Why three times Avi? Because he was Av B'Torah, Av B'Chachma, and Av B'Nevius. He was an Av in all three areas of Torah, Chachma, and Nevius. Ve'ele B'Nevasi Asher Lachach Mered, V'chi Mered Shemo, V'alo Kalev Shemo. The husband, the father of was Kalev, was not Mered. So Amar, meaning the husband of Basia was Kalev. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yavah Kalev Shemarad Batzas Meraglim V'Yisa as Bas Paro Shemar the Biglu LeBeis Avia. That Kalev, who was Marad Batzas Meraglim, who rebelled against the Eitzah of the Meraglim, goes and marries Bas Paro, who is Morad, who rebelled against the Beis Avia. So all of this came about. We go through all of these drashos because we see that the Bas Paro is called the Yehudiyah. and that anyone who's kofar b'avodah zarah is called a Yehudi in that sense. And that's why Mordechai was called a Yehudi, because he was kofar b'avodah zarah. There's a fascinating discussion in the Tshuvas Knesset Yecheskel in Siman Samach Tes, where he found that there was a get that was written by the author of the Shev Yaakov, and the fellow's name was Yehuda, and and he wrote in the get that he was Yehuda Hamuchuna Leib, that he was Yehuda Leib. He's also called Leib, that was the Yiddish name. And he saw that in the get, the name Yehuda was spelled with an Aleph at the end and not with a Hey at the end. So Knesset Yecheskel says that is a mistake, meaning it's not necessarily a mistake to spell the name Yehuda with an Aleph at the end, but if his name is Leib, then it's a mistake. Why is it a mistake if his name is Leib, and it's not a mistake if his name is not Leib? So fascinating. He says that there are two names, Yehuda, that are after different things. Yehuda might be named after the Shevet, the tribe, the son of Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda. That's spelled with a hey in the Chumash. But it could also mean someone who's kofar b'avodah zarah, and it's a name of being someone who's proudly Jewish. Well, that comes from the pasuk that our Gemara quotes, that itin guvrin Yehuda'in, from the pasuk in Daniel. Yehuda'in is with an aleph. So if you're naming after kofar b'avodah zarah, so then you would say with an aleph. And if you name after the name of the person, so then it would be with a hey. So, but if he's mechuna leib, if his name is leib, so then it's after Yehuda the Shevet. So then it's got to be with a hey. Then it shouldn't be with an aleph, right? Because if his name is leib, then clearly it's referring to Yehuda being named after Yehuda with a hey. Also, it's interesting over here. It says that when Bisya Bas Parah went to be rochets to wash off the gilulei avia, so Rashi writes litval gerus, that to be litibul gerus, for tevila of gerus, that she was converting to Judaism, and that's why she went to be tovel. That's what it means, that it was a sense of gerus, litval the shame gerus. So the Maritz Chiyus in the back of the Gemara, he quotes a Turei Evan. He says, I don't understand. If you're only going to be a Ben Noach and you're going to fulfill the mitzvahs Ben Noach and you're just rejecting avodah zarah, you don't need a tvila, right? And if you're being tovel for gerus, so then you need more than a tvila. You need a beis din of three. You need beis din to see the tvila. And the chora, there was no beis din over there. So how could the tvila have done anything? So that's the kasha that the Maritz Chayis raises. That if it was really a tvila, the shem gerus, Rashi elsewhere doesn't say the shem gerus just to get rid of the avodah zarah. But if you really hold that it was a tvila, the shem gerus, so then we have a problem over here. Why would it be a tvila, the shem gerus, if there's no beis din that's present? We also mentioned the name Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So just interesting of note, Tosos in Maseches Basra and Daf Kuf Mem Tosam and Aleph says that the name Pazi is actually a woman's name. So if you're thinking about naming your son Pazi, that's not appropriate. Pazi is actually a woman's name. So you can name your daughter Pazi, not your son Pazi. And the reason Rabbi Shimon is called by his mother's name is because she was a Miucheses. She was a Bas Gedolim. She was a Chash of a woman. So it was a greater Chashivus for him to be called by his mother's name than it was to be called by his father's name. In the Sefer Ma'orear, he says it could be that his mother was Pazi, the daughter of Rabbi Chia, that the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samachei says Rabbi Chia had a daughter by the name of Pazi, so maybe that's the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi that we're referring to, that's the Pazi. But then in the Masifta Gemara, he quotes from a Sefer Ma'orear in the name of Hizar B'Sisrei Torah on Parshas Lech Lecha, that says as follows, that there was a family that was called Ben Pazi because there was a Maisa Shahaya by the patriarch of the family, that his name was Rabbi Yossi, and originally he wanted to learn Torah in order to be Zocha to Ashirus, that he thought that would work. It doesn't work for so many people, and that by learning Torah he was going to become a very wealthy person. And there was a certain wealthy man that promised to make him wealthy if he learns for him. So he gave him a kos yukara shel paz, a special kos that was made out of paz, out of a precious metal or gem. And after learning Torah, after this Rabbi Yossi learned Torah for a while, he started to really love it, and he started to think, I don't want to lose out on the schar of this Torah because of Ashirus that I'm looking for. I don't want to lose my Chai Olam Abba because of Ashirus. So he returned that expensive kos to the Ashir, and he was Osek Petorah L'Shem Shemayim. And because of that, he was called Rabbi Yossi Ben Pazi. That's how he got the name Ben Pazi. So everyone after him in that family was always called Ben Pazi to recall that remarkable story that happened in their family. That was the way that they remembered how their family got started on a path of Torah learning. Okay, back in the Gemara. So So the pasuk continues, "Asher hagla mo Yerushalayim, Amar Rav Shagala me'atzmo." That caused they went in their own galus, because as Rashi points out, "Midlok siv asher haya min hagala asher hagla sa uksiv asher hagla im hagala mashmish lo haya kashar Yisrael shagala al karchan." Not like the rest of Klal Yisrael who were forced into galus. Who gala me'atzmo? He exiled himself. Kamo shasi Yirmiyahu shagala me'atzmo. Asher Melakadosh Baruch Hu lachzar. Just like Yirmiyahu Hanavi did the same until Hakadosh Baruch Hu told him to come back. Vayhi omenes hadasa. So karila hadasa v'karila Esther. Apparently Esther has two names. She's called Hadassah sometimes, she's called Esther sometimes. So Tanya and Meir Omer, Esther, one way to reconcile is that Esther Shema. V'lama nikra Shema Hadassah. Her real name is Esther. Why is she called Hadassah? Shema Tzadikim Shenukra Hadassim. Because Tzadikim are always called Hadassim. V'chenu Omer v'u Omeid Beina Hadassim. Second possibility, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadassah Shema. Her real name is Hadassah. V'lama nikra Shema Esther. Why is she called Esther? Al Shem Shaisa Masteris Tvareha. That she would keep her origins a secret. She never ain't Esther Magedes Hazama. She didn't tell anything about where she came from. She wasn't interested in sharing that information. Third possibility, Rabbi Nechemi Omer Hadassah Shema. Her real name is Hadassah. V'lama nikres Esther. Why is she called Esther? Shayu Umos Olam Koronos Al Shumis Taher. The Umos Olam saw that she had such a glow, she had such a radiance about her, that they said she reminded them of the moon. Ben Azay Omer Esther Lo Arucha V'lo Ktzarai. So really a fourth way of understanding, that she wasn't too tall, she wasn't too short. Elabeinu Niskadasa. She was average like a Hadassah. And that's why they called her Hadassah, even though her real name was Esther. It's so interesting that she was not interested in telling where she came from. The Mefarshim tried to figure out, why not? You know, what was the big secret? Why couldn't she say where she originated from? So in the Targum and the Megillah, he says that once Mordechai saw that Ahasuerus got angry at Vashti and killed her over something minor, he thought, you know, who knows, maybe he'll turn on Esther and he'll wipe out not only her, but her whole family. So he figured it's safest to not let anybody know where she comes from. In the Sefer Manos Halevi on the Megillah, he quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak Arma'a. Rabbi Yitzchak Arma'a is the author of the Sefer Akedas Yitzchak, a commentary on Rashi, on the Chumash, that he says that whatever Chazal said, that the din of Esther by Achashverosh is Yavar Val Yahareg, that Esther did the right thing. She was allowed to be with Achashverosh rather than getting killed. That's only because Achashverosh didn't know that she was Jewish. So whatever he was doing was not to get a Jew to violate the Averos. It was only for his own benefit. But if he would have known that she was Jewish, then it would have become Yaharik Val Yavar, because then it's Lahavira Aladas, because then his Kavana certainly would have been to make her irreligious and to get her to violate the Torah. But as long as he didn't know what she was and where she came from, so there was no interest in causing her to violate the Torah. The Marsha says a little differently. The Marsha says, based on the Gemara, that Esther was Nasachin Beine Kol Ro'eha, that everyone thought that she was from she was one of them. So if she would reveal where she's actually from, then she would lose that chayin, that special chayin that she had, that everyone thought that she was one of them, would be gone, because then they would know where she really is from. Rabbi Shoban Karchamar, Esther Yirak Rokes, I said back in the Gemara that Esther was a Yirak Rokes. She had a greenish complexion, v'chut shel chesed mashuch aleha, and she had a certain grace and a certain chut shel chesed that she had, which means that they couldn't really explain it, meaning objectively she wasn't really beautiful. It was just that everyone, there was just something about her, some special quality about her that attracted people and that made people like her. It already says Ein La Ave'im. Why does it have to say that her father and mother died? When she was conceived, immediately after she was conceived, her father died. And as soon as she was born, her mother died. So it happened as quickly as possible that she lost a parent. Rashi points out, Bishoshin Sabri Ima Mesavia Nimsushlo Hayula Av Mishoshinira Li Karos Av, that she didn't have a father from the very moment that she could have had a father, meaning the very earliest time that someone could be called a father is right after conception, and that's when she lost her father. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samach Tes that talks about a Ben Sora Rumora, and the Gemara says that in order to be a Ben Sora Rumora, a person has to be a Ben Veloha Ra'i Lios Av, and not someone who's Ra'i to be a father. So the Gemara says, when is a Ra'i Lios Av? When it's 3 months after the time where he reaches the age that he can impregnate a woman. Because as soon as you impregnate a woman, you're not Ra'i Li Karos Av yet. You're not Ra'i to be called an Av. It's only once a Tukarubra, once a woman is 3 months pregnant from your Zera, only then are you Ra'i Li Karos Av. So the Acharon point out, Luchara, it's a steer over here. Because over here we're saying, Rashi says, that her father died right away, and that tells you that as soon as he's able to be called an Av, which is right at conception, he's able to be called an Av. That's when he died. Whereas in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it sounds like you're only able to be called an Av 3 months after being conceived. So how do we reconcile that? So the simple reconciliation, Rav Yosef Engel points out, is that if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it says Roy Li Karos Av. It doesn't say Roy Lios Av. That you're a father as soon as you impregnate a woman. When can people call you an Av? As soon as they realize that your wife is pregnant. If they don't know that your wife is pregnant, they're not going to call you an Av. So that comes 3 months later. So that's how Rav Yosef Engel writes in Besa Otzer. Vaitu in the Gemara, B'mos Av Yevi Ima Lach Mordechai Lo Labas. When her father and mother died, Mordechai took her as a bas. Tana Mishum Ramei. Not as a daughter, but lebayis, as a bayis. V'chein u'omer, l'rosh ein kol, ki im kiv sachas ktana, shakonav, yichav, itagadil, limov, yimbalav, yachtov, mipito tochal, mikoso tishte, ubechiko tishkav, vatihi lo kebas. So Gemara says, wait a second, how does that possibly make sense? That bechiko tishkav, she lied with him, slept in the same bed with him, and therefore was like a bas, mishum de bechiko tishkav, havaslei, kebas? No, ele kebayis, hachanami lebayis. So it means a bayis. And Beso Zuishto means that Mordechai took her as a wife. Right, that's the major question that that the Gemara deals with elsewhere. That wait a second, if she was really a wife, then lecharetz yaharik val yavar. Right, the Gemara discusses in Masech Sanhedrin Dafay and Dalin that all averus in the Torah, if a person tells you avor ve'al te'areg yavar val yarek, you violate the averu rather than getting killed, except for avodzar gilurai shvichus damim. So Rabbi Yochanan over there comments that that's only betzina, but befarhesia, even for a mitzvah kala, a person is to be yaharik val yavar if it's going to be befarhesia. So the Gemara over there says, but wait a second, Esther was Befarhesia, because everyone knew that Esther was being taken into the palace. So Gemara gives two answers. Oh, Esther was Karka Olam, so she was passive, and therefore the rule of Farhesia doesn't apply, or it was only Lahana also, Ahasuerus was only having in mind for his own personal Hana, maybe that's what it was. So those are the possibilities that the Gemara says. But Frek Tosas Akasha, Tosas, I don't understand. There's a much more fundamental question we should be asking about. Forget about the fact that Esther was Farhesia, it was Yaharik Val Yavar. Esther was, someone's trying to get into my office here. It was Yaharik Val Yavar. That's why it should have been, she was Nashus Ish. So that's why it should have been Yaharik Val Yavar. Forget about it. It was just my wife. It's Nashus Ish. That's why it should have been Yaharik Val Yavar. Not that it was Farhesia. So that's what Tosla says. Well, maybe the same answer could apply. That maybe the same answer of Karka Olam that works to get around the problem of Farhesia also works to get around the problem of Gilei Arayos, that she was an Ashes Ish. Other possibilities are suggested also by Tosfos quotes a famous Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam says that Zir Masusim Zir Masam, that the Zera of a Nachri is not considered human Zera, so it would not Aser, would not be considered Yarek Val Yavar in that sense, so she would be allowed to be with Achashverosh rather than get herself killed. Let's go back to the Gemara. Sheva Anaros, she had seven Naros to be Meshamishur. So Amar she would use that to keep cheshbon of when Shabbos was. I don't know, I guess they didn't have a 7 day week in Achashverosh's palace that she needed the Naros to keep track of when Shabbos was, so she had her own way of keeping track when Shabbos was. V'yishnas Naroseha, Amar she'achila machal Yehudi, that they fed her Jewish food. Ushmol Amar she'achila kadli dechaziri. No, they fed her the best chazer in the world. They gave her, they were trying to treat her nicely, so they gave her delicious chazer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zeronim, that they gave her like beans, because in order to get protein, normally you need to eat meat or fish or something like that. But beans very often also have a good amount of protein, so you could be healthy when you eat beans. V'cheinu amar v'yamelzer noseas pas begam v'nosim lehem zeronin. Shisha chadashim b'shemen amar. My shemen amar. There were 6 months spent in shemen amar. What is shemen amar? Rav Chibar Abba amar satachas. It's a balsam oil. Rav Huna amar shemen zayish lo yishlish. It's oil from an olive that's not yet 1/3 grown. Tanya Rabbi Yudah Omer and Pekinun Shemen Zayis Shelo Vishlish. And Pekinun is Shemen Zayis that's not yet 1/3 grown. V'lama Sachno. So why do they anoint their skin with such oil? Shemesher Es Haseir removes the hair. Uma'adin Es Habasar and it softens the flesh. Be'erav Yiba'a Ubabokar Yishava. She came in the evening and she returned in the morning. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mignusa Shelo Sarosha Lamanu Shivcho. From the speaking poorly of this Rasha, from that which he did badly, we also learn that which he did well. We also learn a certain praise for him, that Shalom Mishamish Mitasa Bayom. that it wasn't right that he would take a new woman into his house every night, but at least he only took them at night. He wasn't Meshamish Mita during the day. She was Nosis Chain because everyone thought that she was one of them. There's another Daf Yomi coincidence that Esther was taken to the house of Achashverosh in the Beis Malchuso in the 10th month, which is Chodesh Teves. So Yerech Shenena Guf Min Aguf. Chodesh Teves happens to be a cold month, as anyone who walks outside will discover. And that's why it's a time that body heat is most welcome for people, because they're freezing cold, especially before modern heating. Vayav HaMelech HaSesher Mikol HaNashim. And the Melech loved Esther more than all the other women. Vatisa Chein V'chesel Lefad V'Mikol HaBesulos. And he liked her more than all the other Besulos. Amarav Bikesh Litom Tam Besula Tam Tam Be'ula Ta'am. That she's called Mikol HaNashim and Mikol HaBesulos, because whatever he wanted to whatever sensation he wanted to have while he attached with her, whether it be a Besula or whether it be a Be'ula, he was able to have. She was like Mun in that sense. Vayasa Melech Mishta Gadol, and he made this Mishta Gadol, this great party, Avad Mishti Avalo Galilei. He made her a party. She still wouldn't reveal her origins. Dali Karga Avalo Galilei. In her honor, he lifted the taxes. She still wouldn't reveal her origins. Shadda Pradishin Avalo Galilei. He sent letters out in her honor to the whole Malchus, and she still wouldn't reveal it. Kabitz Besulos Sheinus. And the second time they gathered the Besulos, Azu Shokal Eitzel Mordechai. Now he took Eitzel from Mordechai what to do. Amar Eini Shemeskana El Biyer Chavirta. A woman becomes jealous when she thinks that there's competition. So he brought in all these other women to make it seem like he might be falling in love with someone else, but still she wouldn't reveal that she wouldn't give her origins. What does the pasuk mean when it says Lo Yigara Mitzadik Einav B'Scharzniyus Shaisa BaBerachel Zachsav Yatsim Menas Shaul? Because of the great sneus that Rachel had, she was zocha that Shaul descended from her. U'B'Scharzniyus Shailo B'Shaul Zachav Yatsus Mimenu Esther. And because of the great sneus that Shaul had, Esther, he was zocha to have Esther descend from him. Umait sneus haisa baba Rachel. What was the great sneus of Rachel? Duxiv, vayagad Yaakov the Rachel, kiyachi aviyahu. That Yaakov told Rachel that he's her father's brother. What? V'chiyachi aviyahu velo benachos aviyahu. He's not her father's brother. He's her. He's the son of her father's sister. Ela amrla. No, what happened is when he says that I'm your father's brother, it was part of a larger conversation. What happened was he said to her, minasvatli, I want you to marry me. So amrla, in. She said, no problem. Sold. So miu abarama havavaleichaltele, but you're gonna have to get past my father, and my father is one tricky guy, and you're not gonna get past him. So amarlah. So Yaakov said back to her, and the Bach adds a very important line over here: I ramai hu. If he's a Rama'a, then I will be his equal in Rama'us. Right? It can't just be Achvani Rama'us. I'm also a tricky, dishonest person, because Yaakov is Titan Enos Yaakov. He's not a tricky, dishonest person. He says, if your father is a Rama'i, then I'll play that game too. Amraleyu, Mishari, the Tzadik, the Skrib, and Ramayusa. What? I only said yes to marry you because I thought you were a Tzadik. Maybe I'm not even so interested if you're going to be so Achv Rama'us. Amraleyu, he said, no, you're allowed to behave in such a way. Im Navr Titab, if you're dealing with an honest, straightforward person, then you should deal in an honest, straightforward way. But if you're dealing with a tricky, deceitful person, then you deal in such a way. Amrla umayra musa, and what is his deceitfulness? Amrla isli achta de kashisha minai. I have a sister who's older than me. V'lo mintsavli mikama, and he's not going to let her get married. He's not going to let me get married before he marries off my sister. So masala simanim. So Yaakov gave her simanim so that they'll be able to get past any trick that Lavan tries to play. But when the night came, that fateful night came, said, oh no, now my sister's going to be embarrassed. So she gave her sister the simanim. That in the morning it was Leah. Up until morning it wasn't Leah, it was Leah the whole time. But because Leah knew the simanim, Yaakov didn't know until this point. And that's why she was Zocha, that Shaul descended from her. What was the great sneus of Shaul? That Shaul didn't let anybody know that he was anointed as king. So Zachs v'yasim menu Esther, and that's why he was Zocha to have Esther come from him. Now when Lavan says to Yaakov, lo yasakin b'mekomenu losi satziira lefrei abechira, so the post can discuss, is this lahalacha that you're not allowed to be mishana the seder, and you have to marry off the older children before you marry off the younger children. So Tosis Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph writes that ba ma'isa lefrei Rabbeinu Tam, that someone was mekadesh bas ploni. He says, I'm being Mekadesh, the daughter of Ploni, and he didn't identify which daughter. So Rabbeinu Tam says, clearly it's the older daughter, because Lavan taught us that you don't give the younger daughter before the older daughter. So it sounds like it's la'alacha that the older daughter has to come before the younger daughter. And Rashi ala Torah also writes that the Benos Slavchad got married Lufi Seder Toldosan, in the order of that they were born, because that's what you're supposed to do. So if that's true, so first of all, it's interesting that we learn halacha from Lavan, meaning it's just interesting, there are a lot of halacha that we learn from Lavan and from other Rishayim, from Agag, and from, there are halachas that we learn from terrible people. But nevertheless, from Eglon we learn standing during Kaddish, right? The Plishti king. So you have all sorts of interesting halachas that we learn from terrible people. Shavar brachas we learn from Lavan also. A lot of things we learn from terrible people. But the Mefarshim raised the question: okay, but if it's a halacha, why wasn't Yaakov worried about observing that halacha? Shouldn't he have been observant of that halacha? So the Achron came up with different suggestions as to why it wasn't something that he was bound by. So anyway, back in the Gemara, the last skinny line, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that a person is going to be in a position of authority, so that's for his children and for all generations. But if he gets a sense of arrogance and it goes to his head, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, then Hashem lowers him. Shnei Mavasun bezikin. Ves Maimor Mordechai Esther Osa, and Esther did the Maimor Mordechai. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shaisa Marid Dam Nida L'Chachamim. It means that she showed her Nida Shailas to the Chachamim. Kasher Haisa Bam Na'ito. Amar Rabbi Barlema Shaisa Omedes Michiko Shal Achashverosh Toveles V'Yoshevus Michiko Shal Mordechai. She would get up from Achashverosh, go to the mikveh, and then go to be with Mordechai again because she was married to Mordechai. Frak Taisa Sakasha Vim Tomar V'Alo Haya Sham Havchana Shlosh Chadashim. Achashverosh was with her every day. Don't you need to wait 3 months to be mavchin between the zera of this one and the zera of that one? You're not allowed to just be with different people in the same time. So within 3 months of each other. So says Rav Yishlomer Shoyse Mishameshes B'moch, that she was mishamish B'moch, that she used some sort of birth control when it came to Achashverosh, and therefore she knew that she wasn't going to be pregnant from Achashverosh, which is also an interesting chiddush la'alacha. Meaning that seems to tell you that if you know for sure that you're not getting pregnant from one, then you don't need to do the 3 months of havchana, 3 months of waiting from between one and the other. That's a question in poskim. The poskim discussed, as the Gemara says, that even if Yavo Eliyahu and tells you that you're not pregnant, you still have to wait the 3 months. So poskim discuss, what if you take a birth control, a pregnancy test, and you see that you're not pregnant? So I think Ramesh has a tshuva where he says, yeah, pregnancy test, I mean, that's like 99.9% accurate. So that you could rely on. What do you mean, Elio Anavi's not 99.9% accurate, that you're not allowed to rely on? Unclear exactly when you can rely that this stuff works and when you can't rely. This is a discussion in Poskim. If a woman is anus, does she have to wait if she's for 3 months, or can you assume that since she's anus, she'll do whatever she can to remove the zera from her system and nothing is going to happen? Okay. Bayam Ne Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. So it was those days that Mordechai was sitting in the Shar HaMelech. Katzav Biksam Neseresh. So Biksam Neseresh came up with their plan. They were angry at Achashverosh. So Amar Bechir Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hiktziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avad of Lasos Ritzon Tzadik. That one time HaKadosh Baruch Hu got an Adon angry at his Avadim in order to do the will of a Tzadik. Umanu, who was that? That's Yosef. That's the story of Yosef, where Paro gets angry at his two, the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ofim. In order that, Yosef should be in a position to be saved. Shenamar V'Sham Itanu Narivri Avadim Adonayim Lasos Nesel Tzadik. And also one time, Hashem made Avadim angry at their Adon in order to do a nace for a tzaddik. Umanu, and who was that? Mordechai. That was Mordechai. Duchsiv, Vayivada, Adavar LeMordechai. That it became known to Mordechai, meaning apparently the Gemara seems to be suggesting that it's unnatural. It's unnatural for Avadim to get angry at their Adon, for an Adon to get angry at their Avadim in such a way that they have this relationship where they understand. It's almost like a father-son relationship. There's the one who takes care and the one who gets taken care of, and that's how it goes. But this is unnatural that they would that these things would happen, and it's only to protect these tzaddikim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Biksam v'Sarah Shnei Tarsiim Havu. They were both from the Tarsi people. V'yimsaper b'loshon Tursi, and therefore they spoke that language of Tursi. V'omer miyom shabasa zu lo reinu shina be'enenu. And they said, you know, ever since Achashverosh found this Esther, we don't get to sleep because he's so infatuated with her. He's always bringing her into the palace, and he's always all excited, so we don't get any rest. So bavin natil eres besafal k'dei shiyama. So we just can't stand him anymore. So let's poison him, and he'll die. And they were speaking in a foreign language, assuming nobody would understand. V'hein lo yodim ki Mordechai miyoshev lishcha sagazus v'yodeh b'shiv m'lashon. They didn't know that Mordechai was among the yoshev lishcha sagazus, and therefore he spoke 70 languages. So Amar lo v'alo ein mishmarti mishmarti chashava. And then one of them said to the other one, but we don't have the same shift in the palace, so how are we going to be able to be in kutz with each other? Amar lo ani yeshmar mishmarti mishmarti chay. He said, I'll take a double shift so that we'll overlap. V'ayinu duchsiv v'yivukesh adavar v'yimatzei. And that's what it says. V'yivukesh adavar, when Mordechai told about it, that they found that he was telling the truth. How did they find that he was telling the truth? They saw that they traded shifts in order to be able to do this. So that's how they knew that what Mordechai was saying was actually true. It's interesting, the Gemara says that they didn't know that Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin. Had they known that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, they would have realized that, of course, he speaks Shivim Lashon. The Gemara Maseches Menachos tells us, why is it that Mordechai is called Psachya? Because he was Poseach Dvarim Vidorshan V'yodea B'Shivim Lashon, because he spoke 70 languages. So Gemara says, what's the big deal? All the Chachamim knew Shivim Lashon. Rabbi Yochanan tells us Sanhedrin Yitzayin that the people who are members of the Sanhedrin should be people who speak 70 languages, so that they don't have to hear testimony in translation. They should be able to hear it in the original. So, but in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says in Daf Yitzayin and Beis that any city that doesn't have Shnayim Ledaber Ve'echel L'Shmoa Ein Moshivin Ba Sanhedrin. You need two people who speak all the languages and one additional person who's Shomea, who understands all the languages, and in order to have a Sanhedrin in that city. So it sounds like you don't need every member of the Sanhedrin to know 70 languages, as long as a few of them know. So the Chora, it's a steer in the sugyas. So Tosus and Maseches Menachos raises that question, and he says that you have to say what the Gemara's question was, that Kul Sanhedrin Nami Yadi is Lav Dafka, that it's Mamish everybody that knows, but because Mordechai was, it's just that Mordechai would not have been the only person, that there would have been another two. It doesn't mean that every member of the Sanhedrin knows 70 languages, but at least a few of the members of the Sanhedrin need to know 70 languages. Could be there's a difference between the Sanhedrin HaGadol of Shivim and any Sanhedrin Katana. Then maybe the Sanhedrin HaGadol of Shivim, the Yoshvei Lishcha Sagazis, they all needed to know Shivim Lashon. But in local Sanhedrins, you only need two or three. So Achar Advar Me'ilas, Amar Rava, Achar Shabara Kodesh Baruch Hu Rufu Elamaka. Look at Kodesh Baruch Hu did over here, how he engineered this. He put Mordechai in a position that he was owed a huge favor before the rise of Haman to power. So the problem was, the solution to the problem was there before the problem came. Hashem only punishes the Jewish people if he created the refuah first. When it comes to the Yomasolim, it's not that way. Hashem first punishes the Yomasolim and then creates the refuah. That first Vanigaf and then Rafo, then they have a refuah. Initially, it was just to punish Mordechai. And then it was the whole Am Mordechai. Who's the Am Mordechai, other than the name of Rav Willick Sefer? Who's the Am Mordechai? That's the Rabbanan. That's the whole group of the Rabbanan. L'besof, b'chol ha'Yehudim. Then ultimately, it was all the Jewish people. He pilpur hu ha'gorel. Tana kivan shenaf al pur b'chodesh Adar, samach simcha gdola. When he saw that it came out in Chodesh Adar, he was overjoyed. Amar nafali pur b'yarech shemes pa'moshe. Look, it happened in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. V'lo yodea shebeshiva ba'adar meis, b'shiva ba'adar nolad. What he didn't realize was that Moshe Rabbeinu not only died in the seventh day of Adar. He was also born on the seventh day of Adar, so the news was not as great as he thought it was. So the Mefarshim explained that Haman must have known when Moshe Rabbeinu died, but for some reason he didn't know when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. The question is why? Why did he know Moshe Rabbeinu's death day and he didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday? So in the Tshuva Shem Aryeh, in Archaim Simin Yadalit, he says, very simple, because we observe people's yahrzeits. We don't observe people's birthdays, meaning that's the way the Jewish people always are. We fast on people's yahrzeits, we observe people's yahrzeits, but we never observe people's birthdays. So that maybe is a good marimakom in the sugya of birthdays, and whether a birthday is worth celebrating or worth paying attention to. That was never what we did. Yom Leidaso of a Tzaddik, we don't have any minhagim relating to the Leida of a Tzaddik. The Marasha says that the Misa is mefurish in the Ksuvim themselves, in the Psukim themselves. The Gemara in Kiddushin Lamaches tells us, because we know that on Yud Nisan we passed over the Yarden, and 3 days prior to that were the end of the 30 days of the Bechi of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you know, if Zayin Nisan is the end of the Shloshim, so it must be Zayin Adar that he died. But the fact that he was born on Zayin Adar, that's just the Masorah that we have. That doesn't appear in the Torah Shebichsav in any which way. So Haman had access to Torah Shebichsav. He stayed at a hotel and he took out a Bible. He had access to Torah Shebichsav, but he didn't have access to Torah Shebal Peh. So that's why he was unfamiliar with that fact. Yeshno Am Echad, Amar Avaleka the other Lishna Bisha Kaman. There was no one that knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman did. Amar Le Sanichlinu. He said to Achashverosh, let's go wipe him out. Amar Le Mistafina Me'alakav. Achashverosh said, I'm afraid of their God. The Lord be Kedav B'Kamai. He's going to do to me what he did to other people who started up with the Jews. So Amar Le Yeshno Yishanim in the Mitzvos. Don't worry, they've neglected the Mitzvos. Amar Le Ispur Rabbanan. Not all of them neglected the Mitzvos. They have rabbis. Amar Le Am Echad Hein. They're all one nation. If they're going to be punished, everyone's going to be punished. Shema Tomer Korchan Yosef Malchuscha. Unless you say that you're going to make a bald spot in your Malchus because they're all in one place and you're going to knock out an entire civilization. Don't worry, they're spread out throughout all the other nations. So there are just going to be a few here, a few there that are going to be knocked out. It's not going to make an appreciable difference in the census. Shema Tomer Is Hana Minayu. Maybe you're going to tell me, but you get Hana from them. No, you don't. Mifurat. Kepredazu Sheino Saperos. They're like a Preda that doesn't produce any Peros. They're separated from everybody, but over here, not just separated. Mifurad means that there is someone that they're unproductive people. So that's lashon hara. That because that Achashverosh would fall for such a thing. The opposite is always true and has always been true of the Jewish people. We are a very productive people. V'shematomer ikam medinas minayu. Lest you think that there's a medina made up of them. Tamlamer b'chol medinos malchusakol. No, they're all over the medinos of your malchus. V'dosem shonos mikolam. And they act differently from every other nation. They don't eat what we eat. They don't marry us. They don't give their daughters to marry us. They try to stay separate. Meaning this was Haman making the case that anyone who doesn't try to assimilate is bad. That you need assimilation is always a good thing. I was just reading in the Jewish Action, right, in the OU's magazine. They were talking about all these terrible television shows apparently that are out about that make Orthodoxy look terrible and that make speak Lashon Hara about our community. And they were saying that no, the pshat is not that they're anti-Orthodox. The pshat is they're pro-assimilation. So anytime we don't assimilate, so they're going to speak Lashon Hara about us. They're going to say terrible things about us because all they want is that we should stop looking like Yidden. We should look like everybody else. That the whole year all they're saying is Shehi Pahi. What's Shehi Pahi? So Rashi says Shabbos Hayom Pesach Hayom. Right? The guy has to go into the office and tell the boss, I'm not going to be here next Monday or Tuesday. And also, the Monday or Tuesday after that, I'm also not going to be here. What? What's Monday or Tuesday? Well, it's Pesach, so because it's Pesach, well, I guess it would be Tuesday, Wednesday, and the Monday, Tuesday after, whatever, it's Pesach. So, who ever heard of Pesach? There's one night of Passover where you get together and you have a Seder. All of a sudden, it's this whole holiday for the whole thing. So every week is a Shabbos, and they can't be there, especially when there used to be blue laws where you couldn't open up on Sunday. So you can't open up on Saturday either, so it's going to it's terrible. So the Melech et Shavu la'anicham, and he says that it's not worth it for the king to leave them alone. Da'achlu v'shasu mavzulei l'malchus, that they eat and they drink and they're mevazah the malchus, even in the way that they eat and drink. Why? V'afil novel zvuv because shalachim, and if a fly falls into their coast, zorko v'shaseo, they'll flip the fly out of the coast and they'll drink it. It's lahalacha, this quote of the halacha in Yeridaya, that apparently we don't assume that the fly is nosing tam into the coast in the tam l'shvach, in a way that's going to trafe up the coast, that you're allowed to just take the fly out of the coast and drink it. V'madoni ha-melech nogea b'kosu shalach man. But if the melech touches the coast of one of them, chovto b'karka v'enu shoseu, then he's going to throw it to the ground, then he's not going to drink it. So im al ha-melech tov yikosiv la'obdom, that you should write a decree that we should destroy these people. V'asar salavim kikar kesef, omrei shlakish goliv yadu v'nei misha omre v'ayolim shosu v'am lishkol shkolim al yisrael l'ficha chiktim shiklehen lishkolav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Haman was going to have these shkalim against Klal Yisrael, so we have a zuchus of shkalim that predates Haman's shkalim. V'hainu titan be'echad ba'adar mashmin ala shkalim v'ala klayim, that on echad ba'adar we let it be known about shkalim and about klayim, to get rid of any klayim that we have in the fields to in the basin would be machris about these two things. So that happens already be'echad ba'adar, because during Chodesh Adar we have this mitzvah of giving machsa shekel. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem will continue with the drashas of Ayomar HaMelech Lahaman on the bottom line of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Bez Hashem, tomorrow morning at 7:45 or so. 7:45, 7:50.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. Nice to see people. Yeah.
So it's a great story, Rabbi Lach.